lessons from the lave.
Parshas Noach. Today's topic is time, time, time. You'll get to know what that means in just a moment. Time, time, time. We're going to speak about the amazing gift the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us of time. However, we'll see how we use that time. And we'll get into the discussion about this wonderful and important inyan. Thank you so much for coming once again, especially this evening when you are totally off. We actually canceled purposely Sunday evening chugim so that you guys can go to sleep a little bit early, whatever it is, get a long day, and you decide to come and learn Torah. Anyway, I am dumbfounded, surprised, and impressed. Okay, so here we go. The Parsha tells us in Parshas Noach, Noach is a very interesting individual. Let's start with that. So, Noach is an interesting individual because, before we start with anything else, is his name. Right? There actually are Jewish people that are named Noach. What does the word Noach mean? You can actually call out that. What does it mean?
Rest.
Pleasant, rest. Yeah, something along those lines. So, his tells us about Lemach. Lemach, as of last week's Parsha, before we get to this Parsha, so he's named Noach Matzachin Beinei Hashem. So, it is believed that the name of a person that a parent chooses is done al ruach hakodesh. What does that mean? That when your parents name you, there were shlosha shutfim ba'adam, gemara kedushin, and part of the shutfus was that the Ribbono Shalom had some divine wisdom in your parents choosing your name. Very, very interesting. And we can see this obviously in some people. I remember Rabbi, the famous orator, where Pesach Kron always likes to say that, wow, his parents were really amazing, because his word, his name is Pesach. Pesach is to open your mouth. And Rabbi Pesach Kron opens his mouth a lot. He talks a lot. He says, and my second name is Pesach Yosef, to open your mouth a lot. Yosef, to add. He says, wow, my parents really knew where I was going to be. And that happens a lot. My Hebrew name is Dov Menachem. I always thought that was amazing pichlus on my parents' side, because as you guys know, anybody who's ever been in the dining room, so you know that I am a Dov, I'm a bear, I'm a difficult person, but Menachem. But at the end of the day, I'm really a nice person. You haven't seen it yet, but towards the end of the year, you'll see that part of me. And so there was tremendous Sata Dishmaya in the choosing name of Noach. Why? The Midrash tells us the following. The Midrash actually Tanchuma, that Noach was a very unique individual. What did I put the Midrash over here? The Midrash Tanchuma, I just brought a book just so I won't read it. The Midrash Tanchuma, I think, in Yud Aleph, says that Noach was very unique because Noach made life more Noach for the people. We know in last week's Parsha, unfortunately, they were giving the tremendous klala that they would have to work the land. And until that time, they didn't actually know how to work the land. This sounds a little bit strange to us. How did they work the land? They actually, like little kids, they used their fingers. And they used to dig dirt in order to plant things they didn't have shovels and all these things. There was no scoop, muck, and dizzy. There was nothing. They didn't know how to dig. And every time they dig, what was under the earth? It says thorns. They were killing themselves. And it was difficult life. You were working and working just to get a little bit of food on the table, quite literally. And so the Medrash tells us in Tanchuma that Noach was a genius. And he made the life, Noach, of the people by inventing some amazing things. One such item that he invented was the... Right now?
The wheel.
Yeah. He invented the plow. Very good. He invented the plow. So I was telling my son over this to see how it would go. This evening, an hour and said to me, how is that possible? Everybody knows that tractors weren't invented until, I mean, no, not the actual gasoline. But the plow, as we know it, they invented other things as well, the axe and things like that, that made life much, much easier. So he made life Noah. And that appears to be a wonderful thing. We all know the machlokas about Sadik Haya, Tamim Haya, Bedarosov, so on and so forth. But Noach seemingly did great. Right? See the Rashi over there. The problem with that is that, like, right after, when the Parsha Mamish first starts, it says he had three children. It's horrible. It's a horrible time. Things are going on. You should know from it. And what happened? It says, Kimi Moleha Aretz Hamas. Right, it's an amazing pichus in the name Hamas. Hamas means what? Thievery, robbery, horrible things. I'll just quote to you, what Rashi says. But Hamas is the worst of the worst. And it reached such a level. In fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, we'll quote a Gemara in Sanhedrin in a moment, but Rashi says this as well. The Medrash is quoted as well. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kufches. Boru kama gadol koichu shel Hamas. What Hamas equals? What thievery equals? Sharei Dor HaMabel, what we call this, the Dor HaMabel, is going to be destroyed. Avro HaKol, they were horrible. You couldn't think of something they didn't do. Right? It says, Hamas Avodah Zarah, Hamas Gilui Arayas, Hamas Shvichos Damim. They did everything. But it wasn't until Nichtam Gzardinam, until they did Gezel. Until they did that, that's where Rebbeinu Shem says, I can't take it anymore. And maybe you learned it in your... That it's not only wasn't that, it was the type of gezel, a bach gezel, even a penny, that the Rabboni Shalom doesn't tolerate. That's MS. He can't tolerate things that aren't MS. So how did this happen? If you think about now the magal of how everything started and ended, Noah comes onto the scene, everybody's working hard like anything, and this guy comes and invents a plow, and everybody's like, holy moly, this is awesome. They should be the happiest people in the world. And seemingly, the opposite happens over here. They start to be worse. So Rav Pam says beautifully, Rav Avram Pam, the Rosh Hashiva, the Torah Shiva, Torah Badas, he says, they had one thing going for them that wasn't going for them. They took the wrong way, and that was called time. All of a sudden, their life changed from working 15, 16, 17-hour days, as long as the sun was up. They worked and worked and really got nothing out of it. Till what? Till he invented the plow, he invented the... Things became much easier. And all of a sudden, they didn't know what to do with their life. They had so much time on their hands. And what happens when you have time on your hands? So, there are two ways of going. One way of going is the good way, saying, oh, I have time to do things. I can learn Torah. I'm off tonight. I don't have chug. What can I do tonight? So there's a different reaction. I could go outside like a shun of bet guys and say, where's the food? Right? Or what? Or you can go ahead and say, you know what? No, another few minutes of Torah. I can go play, I'll play basketball after. You should play basketball. It's great. Or what do? I have nothing to do. I don't know what to do with myself. Right? So, you know, I always picture the, I hate to say this, but for those that don't know, you know this already, right? The vending machines here in the yeshiva are my little babies. My three little babies. My wife tells me I have five others, but let's talk about those. So we had to install, unfortunately, a camera in there. Because kids were doing, unfortunately, some of you guys, not this year, and when kids from the community were, it seemed like they just had nothing to do. And they would start shaking the machine. They started putting things in, breaking the machine. They're just bored. They had nothing to do. They had too much time on their hands. And that's a bad thing. So Rapam quotes, firstly, the Gemara in Kesuvos on Daf Samach Tes. And there the Gemara, interestingly enough, speaks about the chiyuv that a husband has to a wife. And a wife has to a husband. Anybody who ever read the marriage document called the Ksuva, there's a machlikas in tradition. Some people say, what a disgusting thing. I went into Hartstein's house and he's got the Ksuva hanging there. Look, you know, the document that says that he owns his wife. So that's just a typical misunderstanding. That's not really true. That's not what a Ksuva is. If anything, it's worse of a document for me than it is for my wife. Tell us what I'm chayiv for. I love her so much, and these are the things I promise, I sign on. In Eretz Yisrael, it's a legal document, you actually have to sign on it. And over here, the Gemara speaks about, okay, so now the husband's giving the husband, right? Mamash, these are halachas. I saw a beautiful thing. There's a newspaper here in Eretz Yisrael called Besheva. It's a very popular newspaper for the Dati Lumi community, because it's free. And the cover page for Chol HaMoed was a quote from Rav Malamed, who wrote, of course, Panini Halacha. And this was a good vort. This is a vort. Listen to this. I mean, it's a chiddush, in my opinion, but a vort nonetheless. He says, the mitzvah of the samachta es ishto bacha, of making your wife happy on Yontif, we're talking about Sukkot now, is a mitzvah midoraisa v'ein machlokes b'zeh. Okay. Fine. I have a mitzvah to be masameach my wife. My ksuva requires me. I have to buy her new clothes. I have to buy her jewelry. Lefi Rambam's lashon, lefi mamono, according to the level he has. If he's a rebbe in yeshiva, don't worry about it. You're fine. But you have to do that. And he says that, and there's a chumrah, there's a midah, a mahadrin, to buy an esrog that has all the milas. But we know, and it's already stories of the Chafetz Chaim, and all these different, you know, there's a pardes called the Chazonish. Chazonish esrog. Chazonish esrog was quite poshut, according to many who knew of the Chazonish's esrog. We, people go out, I went to, I had this minug, horrible minug, Jew minug, if you will. At 3 p.m. on Erev Yontif, I go to the Merkaz over here. You guys hopefully don't know about this because you would have done this. And I go there, and that's when they're closing. The police come, and they close down everything because they want to start cleaning. And all the lulavim, that's what everyone's like, forget about it, 5 shekel, whatever. So I get my little kids, little kamamish, not even maybe gil chinuch, a 4-year-old, and set. And I get them lulav, you can get, but like literally, I got a set for 20 shekel. Great, you should go. It's nicer than my esrog, but okay, fine. So then I went, when I was going to the mikvah, I went to one of the famous places where they sell for the more Haredi crowd. And I went in there and they said, 50% off everything, we're closing. So 50% off, okay, you know, I'm a Jewish, so that's good. The esrogim, there were esrogim there for 600 shekel. Okay, they only had 300 shekel. I was thinking to myself, 600, he's learning, Bachar Yeshiva is learning. 600 shekel. So said Rav Malami, this is a chiyuv. A chiyuv for your wife is to buy her clothes. Forget about your esrog. You have to spend 200 shekel. I don't know if anybody saw the Yishmizan, you know what I'm talking about. So here the Gemara speaks about, so what about the wife to the husband? So this is a beautiful, I think a beautiful Gemara again. I'm sure it could be misinterpreted. But the Gemara says, so what about the wife? The wife has a chiyuv to the husband. Certain things that she has to do for the husband. So it says that what happens in a case where he's very wealthy, Baruch Hashem, he made it on Wall Street. The Gemara doesn't use that lashon, but he made it on Wall Street. So Zuck the Gemara says that even if you have the ability, Baruch Hashem, to have servants, they can do the work that the wife's supposed to do, whatever that work might be. But they should always leave things that she should be chayef to do. That's what the Gemara says. So Rapam asks the following. Rapam says, how is it possible that we would go ahead and say this? Why is it? How can it be? Why should she have to do any work? Now, okay, maybe. Because once she has nothing to do, she might fall into an abyss. When you have nothing to do, you got nothing to do. Now, it's true, women are much different nowadays. One of them could be president of the United States, Mr. Shemlo, Alenia. But things could change. Things have changed, and there are executives and so on, but we're talking about the idea of time. So Zuck the Gemara, one more Gemara, and then we'll be done. Not forever. In Sanhedrin that I originally quoted, this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Kuf Yutas. Amud Beis. And here, the Gemara says the following. It says that How can it be that the generation of the flood lost it because of the lack of honesty? The more time that they had on their hand, the more they did bad. It's amazing. The more success the Ribbono Shel Olam gave them, says the Gemara, the more they were off the derech. It's remarkable. In my opinion. I think in your opinion also, you agree with me. How is it possible? How can it be? So, one has to look at this and understand that there's an interpinning of a problem here. Kufyut something, the Gemara. Kufyut Zakri Bechas, no Kufyut Chas. And that's where Rapam ends. And Rapam ends, it's time. Rapam tells over that in the 1900s, the workday was a 16, 17, 18 hour workday.
The crime rate was the lowest, obviously, in the history of compared to what it is today. What happened? So the difference was, is that all of a sudden there started to be something called the labor union. The labor union existed. Why? It's not fair. You can't work that much. They're doing slave labor. They have child labor. You can't have that. But what turned out after that, not chas v'shalom, there should be child labor, but what changed remarkably and dramatically is that there was a lot more crime. Because people now, when we were working the 14-hour days, the 60s, they were moving towards what? You can only work 8 hours, 40-hour weeks. Shkoyev. So this is a key of Musa. The way the Rapam ends this idea is that he talks about the Shemitah year. And when Baruch Hashem, we were zoicha to come back to Eretz Yisrael, also in the later of the 1900s, there was a famous machloikis, famous with the Rav Kook, the Netziv writes about Saint McDover. What do you do the first Shemitah year? Rothschild had given so much money to rebuild Eretz Yisrael, and now it's a Shemitah year. You're going to let everything lie fallow. What's going to happen? It's all going to die. And the Netziv insisted, no, that's what is instituted in order to make it Noach. So what? Not years. Not that they should have time on their hands. That's why the Netziv insisted there should be kolels, and that's what they have today, Baruch Hashem, here in Eretz Yisrael. Because the times that they don't have to work, they shouldn't just be going to thievery and things in Hamas. The time of Noach was so bad because they had so much time on their hands and didn't know positively what to do with it. Now, I'm not going to lie to you, and you know this already. Noach was called Ish Sadeh, but he got so much to his head that we know what happened after the Mabul was over. He was so ingrained in planting and working the land that wasn't a positive thing. So there's a flip side to this. You can't work too hard because if you have no time on your hands, that's also a bad thing. Noach, of course, sinned with his first thing he planted, which was grapes. So that was a big negative. Vayichal Noach, and he plants. He was obsessed. He became this Isha, the mother Medrash says. So there is, of course, an obsession, and we know this, and we heard about this, and hopefully we don't have this in our own families, where you have people that are working and working and working, they don't have any time at all. The kids never see them. You know, the famous, I don't know, you know, whoever it, you saw at first, Facebook or YouTube or whatever, where the kid wants to pay the father how much money, he says, you make an hour consulting. So what are you asking me? What are you asking me, you stupid question, kid? How much hour do you make for... Finally, he says, well, you know, Baruch Hashem, I do quite well. I make $500 an hour. So the kid says, he doesn't have $500. So he gives him whatever he has. He says, here, I just bought 3 minutes of your time. Can you play with me? The father's never home. So again, there's a flip side to this. There's too much time on your hands, and there's too much work on your hands. There's a shvil hazav. And that is, what do you guys do? This is my opinion. Enough. This is my opinion. My opinion is that, as I said, there has to be some sort of shvil azov, and sometimes we think in our minds that we need too much time, and I'm really talking to myself now. And that we unfortunately delve ourselves so much time on our hands that what happens? Like, and that it doesn't lead to good things. We start going onto the internet and things we shouldn't be looking at. We start playing things we shouldn't be playing. We start talking to people we shouldn't be talking to. We start hanging out because we have so much time on our hands. And sometimes we justify the time we have on our hands. But I'm off now. I'm allowed to. This is my time. It's not my fault the yeshiva gave me off Tuesday night. It's not my fault that Rabbi Hartstein decided that Sunday night we're off. I have time. What do you want me to do with the time? What do you want me to go to the basement tonight? What am I, a loser? I'm going to sit and learn with Rabbi Hartstein now? The answer is no. You got to be able to tell the time. And when I joked and I started off saying, time, it's based on a beautiful idea. And I'm sorry I'm going a little bit over than usual because I don't know what's going on with this recording. I don't know if it's going anywhere. But Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg had the great schus. He came to Teaneck a number of years and had the great schus of being able to be malava him around. It was such an amazing thing. And when I was drove him to different shuls that he spoke at, this was the topic he kept speaking about. And he was screaming this word. Time, time, time! Mi ha'isha chavetz chayim, ohev yomim liros tov! Remember, you have so much time on your hands. What do you do with the time? He was screaming it. He says, don't get me wrong. And it's very, the way that he spoke was so beautiful. He says, you should have time to enjoy life. He says, what do you think? I don't love Breyer's ice cream? I remember when he said it, he spoke very, very low at that time. He was, you know, he was almost 100 years old. So his son was when he said it, and then he was saying it over, there's hundreds of people there. So he said, my father said, I think he called it, Pop said, that you can eat, you have to have time, you can eat ice cream. And he starts screaming, I said, Breyer's my favorite, Breyer's, that's my favorite brand. He said, hey, Breyer's. He loved the Yankees. He said, the Yankees, the Yankees. He goes, you can play baseball. I said, the Yankees. So you can have time and do things that are good. But there has to be a shril hazav. You can't work too much. You can't have too much time on your hands because it leads to chamas, the bad things. And too much working also could lead to chamas, by the way. So in this year that Baruch Hashem, you have a great ability to learn more than you've ever done, to grow more than you've ever grown in your life. And to those listening, I thought it was beautiful what the Rosh Yeshiva said today, with Breidowitz, that Cheshvan is that time, the Rabbeinu Shlom says, okay, nu tafas. Let's see who you really are. That's who you really are. Let it be a time that we realize that we have time on our hands, and we should have time on our hands. In my yeshiva, around this time of the year, my Rosh Yeshiva came up to me and he gave me 50 shekel, which in those days was a lot of money. And he said to me, you go to the movies, go, go, go. He thought I was burned out because I was sitting in the base medrash, he thought too much. He says, go. So don't get me wrong. And sometimes I see him this, by the way, even in our yeshiva. Guy's sitting, he's learning. You know, he took upon himself to get Hag Bagalila. You know, he's doing Shah 65 times, you know. He took on 9,000 daf, if he didn't know what that meant. So he's sitting in the base medrash every day. He can't even turn 9,000 dafim, you know? But you have to have the shilub. Don't burn it, but the middle ground. You should have time, but not too much time. Because too much time leads to the... All the psychologists will tell you this. Too much free time is not a good thing. You should be zeicher, Rabbi Isai, to take the lesson of Noach, of being Noach, not too Noach. But you shouldn't work too much either. Shouldn't be an Isha Dama too much. With that of Yitz Hashem, we should be Zaycha to only good times. Admei Avi Esrim Shana. Amen. Amen. Amen.